can't tell if the chemistry's good by looking at it. It wasn't clear yesterday. For the last time, the saltwater pool is a chlorine pool.
This is the Talking Pools Podcast with pool pros from every region in the country. If it happens in a pool, you'll hear about it here. Everything from tips and hacks to the latest tricks and trends. Breaking news, we lay it on the line. We tell it like it is because we think you deserve to know.
Welcome back to part two of the Tuesday episode on minerals with Peter, Shane, and Lee. Buckle your seatbelts in 4, 3, 2, 1.
And lift off! We rise together, back to the moon and beyond.
If you had, and I often kept them, so I don't know if this is something you do or not, but I keep, if it's a brand of chlorinator that I have a lot of, I will actually ask the manufacturer very nicely for a service cell.
Yep.
And put a service cell in your toolbox, in your setup, and so that you could actually put that cell on, see how it goes for a month or for a couple of weeks even, and see if it gets the same build up on it. Now, if it doesn't, then it could mean that you've got a reversing polarity issue with the cell. Now, obviously, the hardness of the buildup might be another problem, but at least it's sometimes with these things, it's you've got to troubleshoot and try and process of elimination to work it out. So that might be worth giving a try.
Sorry, did you say reverse polarity issue in the cell?
Yeah. Oh, well, no.
So I'm just trying to work out how that happens because it's normally from the PCB that controls
from polarity. These. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Normally. Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
No, yeah. I'll certainly look into that one.
Yes. Mm. Yeah, whether it's the power unit, whether it's the cell, whether it's, yeah. Yes, because, of course, you're right, Peter. God, I went off on a wrong tangent then, didn't I?
It happens from time to time.
Are you saying I go off on a wrong tangent all the time?
No. I just said I was right. It happens from time to time. But, yeah, people are always so surprised.
Yeah, so in regards to your swimming pool, Lee, this is a faux magnesium pool. There's no salt.
Well, we use the mineral swim blend, which is right from the Dead Sea. So as to the component of salt in it, I can't be sure, but apparently there is some salt in there. We don't put straight salt in our pool at all. Occasionally I might put a bag of straight magnesium in there just to boost the nice feeling that I've got. but most of the time I use mineral swim minerals. So, but I've used straight magnesium chloride. And actually I do have to say when I was using straight magnesium chloride, I used magnesium chloride through the swimming season, and through the winter season I used salt if I needed to. I never overplayed the salt because I just kept enough in there to keep my saltwater chlorinator happy, say if we'd had a huge deluge of rain. Kept enough in there to keep my saltwater chlorinator happy because I wanted room to put magnesium in when swimming season comes. Because let's face it, we don't put magnesium chloride in there for anything other than for us.
Yeah,
salt will do the same job. It'll produce chlorine gas. We don't put it in there for the protection of the equipment and fixtures and fittings. It is purely for bather comfort. Now, if we're not swimming, it serves no purpose. So that was always my line of thinking.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, some people and some customers are going to have mineral pools, magnesium pools, magna pools, aquatherapy pools, Theralux pools, whatever the brand is that they've got. And they're going to want to put that product in because that's the equipment they've got. That's fine. Mm. It's their pool. It's their choice. And I was a big advocate for that in my shop. I used to actually keep about three different brands of magnesium mineral, or I should say minerals for the mineral pools, because people do like to buy what they are meant to have for their pool. This is my pool, my choice. So that's all. I hope that was diplomatic enough.
Yep.
But it leads to an interesting question, and that is, like Pete was saying, they all have different breakdowns. So I was quite interested to see that. Let's go through the common ones. Probably the most common out there is Magnipool by yep. Zodiac, Aquatherapy by Astral, Mineral Swim by Matronix. Then we've got, to a lesser degree, the Waterco mineral crystals, or the Vitali brand, and Theralux. And I think you mentioned one, Shane, in New Zealand that our listeners over there might be more familiar with, is Eco Spring. But looking at, I was very interested to see Magnipool and Aquatherapy, however they pronounce it.
Therapy,
are both Fluoridra products under the Zodiac and Astral brands, respectively. Zodiac's Magnipool is 100% salt-free. It is 70% potassium and 30% chloride. And the Aquatherapy is 80% magnesium, 15% potassium, and 5% borax.
Okay.
The Mineral Swim is 100% dead sea, so we don't know.
Yeah. When they say salt-free, 100% salt-free, how do they define a salt? Because if it's got magnesium chloride in, magnesium chloride is a salt.
Salt, yes. And that's why it's often called mineral salt. Magnesium salt is often called mineral salt. So I think they're meeting sodium-free.
I think so. But... yeah, it's when you've got a salt chlorinator and you put in salt-free minerals, that's going to get in a lot of people's heads. It's going to mix them up.
Oh, it's the same as when they come in and ask for shock and, like, there's shock products that are monophosphate.
Oh, so. Don't say shock. Hopefully Andrew is not listening to this one.
I have heard her about that.
Edit up, Rudy.
Yeah. But no, and I completely agree with her.
Yeah. So, but Andrea, if you're listening to this, well, you do listen to this, just remember the amount of shock depends on the gallonage of the pool. Or as we would say, literage. That one. Oh, I'm after a bite there.
Okay. Well, we got a bite on the Crocs, so we've had to get a bite on the shock, surely.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, so, yeah, not all of these are created equal.
No.
So from what I understand, I think the Waterco one is straight magnesium chloride.
Yes.
From the information that I can get.
That's what they've got there.
So, 90%. Yeah. So it's, it's certainly interesting. And, look, I don't dispute that you get benefit from potassium and you get benefit from borates, but we're adding these things in and we're not testing for them.
Yeah, that's my issue.
So do they only disperse with dilution, like salt, or do they, do they build up? I don't know the answer to that one.
Do they react with something else in the water?
Yeah. Are they byproducts? We don't know. So, and I know that there's therapeutic benefits with potassium and there's therapeutic benefits with magnesium. But do we get to a point where our pool is at a saturation point? How do we measure it? Then what do we do with it when we do get to the saturation point? How can that customer continue to add those products when they are at saturation point but their chlorinator is screaming out for salt or TDS or minerals to keep it going? So I'm sorry, Shane, but I have no answer.
It's all right. I like opening up a can of worms, you know.
In terms of adding it, do you guys often find you get people ask you, how often should I add salt? And my response is always, well, when a test shows that you should add it.
And some people add it regardless.
Oh, and I've been out to pools where, you know, you've got 8,000 ppm of salt, and they said, oh, it looked a bit cloudy, so I threw 6 bags of salt in. Well, why?
I've had burning people out say your chlorinator. To me, yeah, my pool was green, so I just kept adding salt, but it didn't do any good. No wonder it's not going to do any good. Your chlorinator's not working properly.
Like, or burnt besides out the completely. Fact
that, yeah, besides the fact that it's now gone into overload and we actually don't know whether it's working properly or not because you've got 35,000 parts of salt in the pool.
Yeah.
So,
but also a lot of salt systems, newer ones especially, have got the salt test or TDS test. And we see that on some of the ionizers and so forth. But an important thing to note with those, you can never trust them, especially in winter.
Yes.
Because they don't measure the salt content, they measure the conductivity, and that's affected by water temperature. So, again, I've had the problem where people have said, oh, I've pushed the salt test button, it said salt is low, so I put some salt in, I do an actual salt test, and, yeah, the level's up through the roof. I would prefer that chlorinator manufacturers, salt system manufacturers and ionizer manufacturers got rid of that function because people think, oh, this is what it says. It must be correct.
Either that or they've got to get that fancy that they actually have a thermometer in them and then their readings are adjusted accordingly. One or the
Some of them have got thermometers in them, but they still read low. Whether there's no calculation for that in the algorithm, no algorithm for that in the programming, sorry, or there's something else. But that's one thing. But look, how often should I add this? How often should I add that? You know, how much chlorine do I need to add to my pool each week?
How long is a piece of string?
Yeah.
That's my answer.
I had a customer get really grumpy. They said, well, you must know. I said, look, if you could come up with a formula for exactly how much chlorine a pool requires, what its chlorine demand is, you could make a fortune from the pool industry. Because think of all the variables we've got to face, you know, weather, you know, temperature, rainfall, evaporation in that you're topping up with water that's bringing more TDS in. Obviously, things like your salt doesn't evaporate. That's how we end up with salt flats in the bush. Bather load, especially when you've got dog load as well. If you've got I don't know if that's a term for it. It's what I call it.
I had two dog loads in one of my pools today.
Okay, let's change the name of that one then. But, you know, a dog. I've got a customer with beautiful big dog. What is it? A mountain dog, Bernese mountain dog. The thing's the size of a small cow, and it's got long fur on it. Whenever we go to his pool, you could just about make a wig out of the hair you pull out of the skimmer basket. Oh, beautiful dog, though. But he says, oh, why can't I maintain chlorine? Well, that would be Muttley over here.
Is that a, just out of curiosity, is that a salt or a mineral pool?
That's salt.
Oh, if you go with mineral, the fur on that dog, Peter, would be perfect.
So soft.
Won't stop it from shedding, but yeah.
But it's a miracle. No, we'll stop taking the mickey now. Things like that. The amount of organics getting into it, you know, leaves, flowers. At the moment, you know, pollen is a major problem at the minute. The dust, as I said earlier. Every pool, you can have two pools, and I've done this at display centres, two pools, same volume, next to each other, and they've got different requirements chemically.
Yep, absolutely. Well, it's no different than a pool and a spa side by side. Their needs are different. Their test results are going to be different. So, yeah, they need to be handled individually.
And also pool colour and pool construction material. I've found fiberglass pools to consistently be warmer than concrete, heating and blankets and all that notwithstanding. But when I did used to make pools and we had the display center, back in the day it was common to have a pool, the color was ivory, so a light beige colored pool used to be very big, and then we'd have light blue pools, and then as darker pools came into fashion, we put them. And I remember one day I jumped into one of them I think it was the light one first, cream color, whatever, then into a dark one, the temperature difference was extraordinary. I didn't think to test it with a thermometer then, because I didn't have need to, but I thought, gee, that is a marked difference. Then I jumped into another pool, a different one that was a light color, and again, really cold. So if that color of the pool affects the temperature, it's going to affect chemistry.
Yeah. Absolutely. I dived into a pool yesterday, fully tiled, white tiles.
I was going to say, was that voluntary or involuntary?
No. It was,
intentional.
It was, yeah. But,
strategic falling.
I actually thought that the temperature at this pool wasn't actually that warm. And a pool today, a fiberglass pool, in the same area, a light colored fiberglass pool. But the temperature on that one was actually it felt a lot warmer compared to a tiled pool. Mm-hmm. And I never noticed until you just mentioned it then, Peter.
Yeah, never realized
that.
Fiberglass pools are typically hotter, typically a little bit warmer than concrete. Mm. All other factors being even, like shading and so forth.
Well, my pool is a dark color. My pool's that antique pebble. It's almost blacky-gray marble look, and I love it. The water takes a turquoise color. It's not for everyone, but I really love the color of our pool. It is very warm, and we purposely picked that color because we are in a cooler climate. And, so our pool, it does really help that sunlight. But as you say, Peter, it chews through the chlorine. You've got to make sure that you keep your chlorine level good. So.
In an extraordinary turn of events on a Sydney beach, a stranded juvenile great white shark captivated onlookers as it was rescued by marine experts and placed in an ocean pool. The scene, initially incongruous, unfolded with sunbathers watching in amazement. The pool was promptly closed to swimmers as the shark, endearingly named Fluffy, was transported to an aquarium for care and recovery. The swift actions of the rescue team, witnessed by poolgoers who quickly exited, ensured the shark's safety despite some superficial injuries. The decision to release Fluffy back into the wild underscores the commitment to its survival and well-being. This remarkable tale reflects the collaborative spirit of the community and marine experts, emphasizing the significance of wildlife conservation. The incident, shrouded in curiosity about how the shark ended up in the pool, serves as a testament to the collective efforts towards protecting and preserving our natural world.
Well, my pool is a dark color. My pool's that antique pebble. It's almost blacky-gray marble look, and I love it. The water takes a turquoise color. It's not for everyone, but I really love the color of our pool. It is very warm, and we purposely picked that color because we are in a cooler climate. And, so our pool, it does really help that sunlight. But as you say, Peter, it chews through the chlorine. You've got to make sure that you keep your chlorine level good. So,
whereas I chose a white pool for a very different reason. That's because I really wanted teal. Now, I think there's a difference in the use of the word teal between Australia and the US. For us, teal is a very dark green-blue color. If you're thinking of the light bluey green, we call that turquoise. And I say that because once I posted on a pool professional forum on Facebook, said, can you guys send some photos of teal pools? And they all came back turquoise, very light colored. And I'm thinking, oh, that must work different. That's what I really wanted. But because the back of my house is so shaded for most of the day, a teal-coloured pool or a very dark pool would just be dark and gloomy. You wouldn't be able to judge the depth, wouldn't be able to see steps in the seat and so forth. So temperature's one factor, but also for me it was a safety issue, having a light-coloured pool so you could see what's happening in the water when it's shaded.
Mm-hmm. But because mine's mineral, I can always see what's happening at the bottom. Now, we get to the subject of testing mineral pools.
Yes.
So how do we know these days that our test is accurate? And so I did a little bit of research, just a little bit, spoke to Lamotte, looked at Palintest. Interestingly, obviously, Lamotte with the Waterlink spin do an 801 disc, which tests magnesium. So it tests magnesium chloride and it tests total hardness. It also gives us a test result of calcium hardness. It doesn't actually test calcium hardness. So the calcium hardness reading that they give you as part of the spin is 801 discs. It's total hardness minus hardness minus magnesium hardness equals your calcium chloride level or your calcium hardness level. So, which is interesting. But yeah, they assure me that the magnesium chloride test is actually, it is truly reading the magnesium chloride. Now, you can get test strips, obviously, but on the test strips, they don't actually tell you what is a good level. They just tell you what the level is. And not like, not like the little, the 3-in-1s or the 5-in-1s where they've actually got an ideal range. Yeah, they've, they don't have the little lines that say this is the ideal range that you want to keep within.
Yeah.
It just gives you an indicator. Palintest.
I can probably suggest why, because, and I'm glad they actually do that, because it would encourage people to consult their manual for their chlorinator, which should say what the desired mineral level is. Because if you've got, and we see the same problem with salt. Okay. I had a tech out at a job this morning. It's pull controls, XLS or XLM, one or the other, same thing, different label, chlorinator. It's designed to run on 900 parts per million of salt or TDS. Mm. If you get that up to, I think from memory, it's around 1,800, 2,000 parts per million, it will shut down to protect itself. I've had problems with this pull in the past and others where they've taken a sample to a pull shop. And this is why this guy first called me out, this customer. He took the sample to a pool shop. They said, oh, you need to add lots of salt. Sold him about 4 bags of salt for about a 10,000-litre pool, which is off the charts anyway. I got there. His salt level was something like 5,000 or 6,000 parts per million on a chlorinator designed to run on 900 ppm. Now, two things. First of all, we don't know if the customer told him what type of chlorinator or he assumed. If the pool shop guy, pool shop technician, asked him what type of chlorinator it is, you don't know if the customer even knew what type of chlorinator. And speaking with him in the couple of years since starting that pool, I don't think he's got much of a clue, to be honest. It doesn't seem to have much of a clue about anything. I once got called out there and he said, oh, my heater's not working. You need to come out and get it working. I went out there, had a look at it, plugged it in, turned the switch on. Ah, it's working. So not the most practical. So also speak to the, or consult the equipment manufacturer with what it is. On my Dropbox, I have a folder with all the different manufacturers, all the different models of equipment they've got with all the specs. So if somebody wants a, you know, what's the mineral level I want on a Astral Viron EQ chlorinator, I can just go to Dropbox, look up on the folder, bang, there it is. This is the level of whatever chemical you want for this chlorinator, and it's there.
Yep.
If I find a model that I don't have, for example, when the Halo first came out, I rang Fluidra and I said, hey, can you give me the specs on this? Or you can Google it.
Yep.
And it comes up on their most manufacturers have their user manuals on their website. So I'm actually glad they don't show the desired range because there is variance there.
Very true. So, and, yeah, you bring up a topic that we, I think, addressed a couple of weeks ago, and that is making sure that you're getting the right information so that you are doing the right thing by your client and by their pool. It's just part of being professional. Interestingly, Palintest's new Luminoso testing equipment, their pool test expert tests 34 different tests, I think it was 35, And magnesium is not one of them, which really surprised me. Mm. So maybe because they're a UK product and mineral pools aren't popular in the UK. That's the
There's
only
no
thing I can think
of. There's no pools in the UK. It's too cold.
It's too cold.
I have actually sent a pool to the UK. Built here in Perth.
Oh, really?
Shipped. It was a little courtyard pool. Stuck at my funny angle in a shipping container because the only way it was fit would fit. That had all the equipment they needed. And we told them, look, you're going to need to get it converted because you've got different plugs and probably a different voltage. They said, oh, no, we'll be right. Good luck to you. And, yeah, we sent it to the UK. And we also told them that here our 40mm, 50mm fittings are actually inch and a half, 2 inch. Mm. In the UK, they are true 40mm or 50mm. So, glad I didn't get a warranty call out on that one.
Well, might have made a nice holiday. But the Palantes do have an expert Luminoso, which is their top-of-the-line Palantes photometer. It does 84 different tests, which is way beyond what most pool shops and service businesses would want to do or need to do. Even the 35 is a big increase on the 24. But the 84 tests do include magnesium, so it is possible. They're doing it on one unit. It would have just been nice if they had have done it on the pool test expert unit. So for those out there that do have or are looking to buy that unit, yes, it will do it. If you're buying the pool test expert, no, it doesn't. Obviously the Lamott Waterlink spin, it does test it. So I will have to go back to them and ask how they actually calculate the mineral content reading. You know how that actually gives a mineral content like it does the salt content reading?
On which, sorry?
Whether on the Waterlink spin. I didn't ask.
The 801 series?
Yeah. Yep. So
the 801's got free chlorine, total chlorine, bromine, pH, alkalinity, total hardness, mag hardness, cyanurate, copper, PO43, that's phosphate, and salt.
So it's testing salt on the 801.
Yes. That's what.
Yep.
Hang on. That put me on a third-party website. I will need to confirm that.
Yeah. So it would just be interesting to know how that salt reading then is generated. I knew there was a reading generated there. So is it actually measuring chloride or is it measuring sodium or is it like how do they – or is it actually like a TDS reading? Because they call it a mineral disc.
Hmm.
And yet it comes through as salt. So I will ask and I will get back to our listeners. Stay tuned.
Excellent.
Next episode, we will have the answer.
We will hold you accountable.
And I'm sure everybody will be sitting on the edge of their seat waiting for that answer.
You bet they will. And they will be sending in comments and queries to talkingpools@gmail.com, like the very best of listeners, where questions and queries will be answered by the most appropriate host on the most appropriate episode, and a good time will be had by all.
But you know what? We probably haven't answered many questions today. We might have actually asked a few more than we've answered, so I don't know.
It happens.
We probably answered a few for the US because they now know what a mineral pool is and the benefits of it or the claimed benefits of it.
Claimed benefits, alleged.
Yep, alleged benefits of it. But, yeah, we haven't solved your calcium problem, Shane.
That's all right. That's fine. Yeah. I'll get back to you and I'll keep you posted.
But I can say with my pool, I've had, like I say, magnesium minerals in it for the last 8 years and I have never cleaned my salt cells, never needed to. And I have two. With
8 years.
Yep. Wow. With the mineral chlorinator that I have, it actually has two electrodes because it works off such a low level, which is about I think it's up to 2,500 parts or around that that it actually works at. So, yeah, and I've never had to clean the cell in those years, and they are 8 years old. So I probably am getting close to needing to replace them, I'm sure.
But my last two pools, my previous house and the house before that, previous house I was in there for, let me think, it would have been about 10, 11 years. Within a few months of moving there, installed a new chlorinator, never cleaned it. It was still going strong when I moved out. 10, 11 years later, the cell was still fine. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The other house, the cell was still going strong after 14 years.
There's hope for mine yet.
Yeah, because the water chemistry was maintained.
That's it.
And these people who chew through cells in, you know, oh, I bought this 3-4 years ago, you know, it shouldn't need replacing it. Well, no, it shouldn't need replacing yet, but here's your chemistry results. You know, you weren't maintaining your water chemistry. And that's a very active place inside the, between those cell plates. Electrolysis is everything that passes through your cell is affected by it, even the water itself. So, yeah, it's not surprising they will wear. And they're dependent on having the right chemical parameters to operate properly.
Hmm. Yep. Well, your pool and my pool are testament to the cells will last if you look after your pool.
Yep.
And they're all different brands, I assume.
No, the last two were both pool controls.
Oh, okay.
Those two that lasted for a long time. But I've also seen some of the old Chloromatic ESC series last for well over 10 years. Chloromatic by Monarch Pool Systems. You would have seen them in the past, I'm sure, Lee.
Yes.
Not sure if you would have, Shane, pool controls sold to Davey.
Oh, pool controls, yes.
Sorry, not pool controls, yeah. Sorry. Duh. Monarch Pool Systems, who had Chloromatic.
Oh, no.
They sold to Davey 18 to 20 years ago, I would guess. And then there were changes to manufacture and so forth. But they were a robust chlorinator. They were a really tough chlorinator. I've still got some of the – one of the – my pools out there has still got a P-series. Now, that would have been from the 80s. This little bugger's still going. It produces like a beast. So yeah, built them a bit different. There's no plating, no coating left on the cell, but it still produces. So I don't know what's going on there. Anyway, thank you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It's been fun. Thank you, listeners. Again, send in your questions, queries, comments, feedback, talkingpools@gmail.com. One of the biggest challenges we face is constant, and this is across all the episodes over the week, finding new topics to discuss. So let us know what you want to hear about. But I'm off to go and boil in this plexiglass surrounded pool on a 41 degree day. You guys have fun. Shane, have a beer for me. I'll have one for you in about 4 hours from now.
See you guys.
Uru.
Thanks, mate.
Have a great week.
Cheers, guys.
I just wanted to take a minute to say thank you for listening today. I'm hoping you enjoyed the episode as much as we enjoyed putting it together for you. Listen, it's been a couple of wacky, crazy, screwed up years from pandemic to Poolmageddon. I just want you to know that we are all in this together. If there's anything that we can do for you, send me an email at talkingpools@gmail.com. Again, that's talkingpools@gmail.com. We're here. This is your podcast. We are the Pool People's Podcast, of the pool people, for the pool people, by the pool people's body. Podcast. This one is about you. So thank you for tuning in and listening. Do me a favor, click subscribe before you go. That way you don't miss an episode.